May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated. Before I begin this morning, I had to read Psalm 139, the very first part of it, again. This is from a different translation. It's from the New International Version, which is just a little bit different. But I've been reading this translation all week. And every time I read it, I am again just taken by the fact that God is so close to me, so a part of me, and I am so a part of God all of the time. Please listen as I read Psalm 139, 1 through 6. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know me when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in from behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Your knowledge is too wonderful for me to even understand. The very thought that you are putting your hands on me, and a little bit scary to think that you know what I'm going to say this morning before I even say it. And hopefully what I know is what you would like me to say and the things that you would like me to talk about this morning. I think about our little church and the community that we are. I think about the incredible wonder that I have of being a part of this congregation. Father Ken always says, thank you so much for being here. And my answer is, thank you so much for asking me. Thank you so much for asking me to be a part of this loving Christian group. Father Ken likes order. He likes lots of order. And I like order too. It's nice to be early. It's nice to have all of your things laid out so it's going to be exactly the way you think it's going to be this morning, right? So I came this morning and I was early and I had all the things that I needed to wear. But I did not have my prayer book. So Father Ken says, well, you can use my prayer book. Well, now my prayer book is all marked on the edges, each thing, every place that it is. But now he's using a different prayer book. But you know what? We're just fine, right? We've been just fine. We just accepted that with grace, with God's grace, because this morning it's Sunday, and we want to share with you all of the love that God has to share with each and every one of us. We waited quietly, with great confidence, that the person who was going to come to read was coming to read, and the person who was coming to be the chalice bearer was coming. But as we waited and waited, what we found out, none of that was going to happen. And so Father Ken looks out and he sees Teresa. And he says to her, will you read? And she says, yes, I'd be glad to. Here I am, Lord. I'd be glad to. And then he needed a chalice bearer. And I said to him, well, yes, I'd be glad to do that. But what is that? And he says, well, you know, you just take the chalice. I said, oh, yes, yes, I know. I just didn't know what it was called. And then all of a sudden, he realizes the prayers of the people, and who's going to do prayers of the people? And he says, Heidi, will you do prayers of the people? And Heidi says, sure, I'd be glad to do prayers of the people. And then as we all come up, Heidi realizes the candles are lit. And before this happened, James didn't have his music. And so all of the order that there was supposed to be in this morning, there wasn't. There wasn't. And here we are. And here we are. And God is laying his hand on each and every one of us and touching us in some way on this day to be a part of what it is that he wants us to take out into the world. Samuel lived in the temple. his mother couldn't have any children, and she grieved so over that. And so she made a deal with God, and she said, if I could have a child, I will give the child back to you. If I could just have a child. And so God granted her a little boy, which she named Samuel. And she kept Samuel in her home a little longer, actually, than God thought that she would. But eventually she brought him to the temple. And Eli, an old priest, was there, and he was there to watch over Samuel. And Samuel to watch over Eli. Together, they were a part of the team that God needed to make a difference in the people of Israel. And so, as time went on, Samuel grew, and Eli grew much weaker. And Samuel took care of Eli, and then one night, as Samuel was laying there sleeping, he hears, Samuel, Samuel, and he thinks, well, Eli needs something, and he jumps right up, and he goes in the other room, and he says, what can I do for you? And Eli says, I didn't call you. Go and lay back down. You're dreaming. And so he went back, and he laid down, and a second time he heard, Samuel, Samuel, and he got up, and he went in the other room, and Eli said, no, Samuel, go back and lay down. Now, Eli began to think, Samuel has never heard the voice of God before. I know the voice of God, but he does not. And so when he comes next time, I'm going to say to him, listen carefully. Listen carefully. And when you hear that voice again, say, here I am, Lord, use me. And so he went back in, and Samuel laid down. And again, the voice came. And as the voice came, of course, he got up and he went to Eli because he knew he needed to take care of Eli. But this time, Eli was going to take care of him because he said to him, Samuel, go and lay down and listen carefully. It is not me calling you, but when you hear the voice, say, it is I, Lord, use me. And so Samuel did exactly what he was told. And through the stories of Eli, all of a sudden Samuel was brought up and embraced and knew that God was laying his hand on him, and he heard God's voice. He heard God's voice because Eli said, listen, listen, and you will hear. And then Samuel was told a whole lot of things about Eli that really weren't very good. In fact, the story wasn't going to be good at all. But it was something that Eli needed to hear. And so Samuel told Eli all that God had to say. And Eli said to him, it's all right. It's exactly as God would want it to be. Exactly as God would want it to be. God knew what Samuel was capable of doing. Eli knew what God would send in Samuel's mouth would be God's words himself. As we go along doing the kinds of things that we are doing, many times we come upon something we really don't want to tell somebody. We really have a sense that this might hurt their feelings or that something might be really upsetting to them. This morning at the first service, when I am still half asleep, Father Ken gets up and he explains that Joan DeSevenis is no longer going to live in her own house, that she's going to move to a little house behind her family's house. And then he says, and she can't keep her dog, and it's going to the South County. I have to say, from that moment on, I couldn't really think about anything else. I thought about, for me, the devastation of losing my dog that sits right beside my bed each and every day. It's a dog that I talk to all the time, who listens much better than my husband does and is really much more sympathetic and understanding than just about anybody I know. And I couldn't imagine another loss in my life. And all I wanted to do at that moment was just pray for for Joan and say, please, God, watch over Joan. And honestly, afterwards, I thought I could just hear God say to me, well, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you just stop everything you were doing and pray for Joan? You see, so often God sends us a task to do that's really just so small and seems insignificant. And yet that's what God would like us to do. Small, insignificant things that change the world. Yes, I'd be glad to read the scripture. Of course I'll light the candles. Yes, I'll do the prayers of the people. What else would you like me to do today? What else, God, would you like me to do today as you lay your hand on me? I remember when I was ordained. When I was ordained, my husband and I and a sponsor that I had chosen came before the bishop. And as we knelt before the bishop and he laid his hands on my head to ordain me as a full elder in the United Methodist Church, I felt another hand in the center of my back. And afterwards, I said to my husband, George, I said, George, were you putting your hand on my back? No. I said, Mary, did you put your hand on my back? No. I knew right then I was ordained by the bishop and by God to do whatever it was that God would like me to do, that he would teach me to speak just like Jeremiah by putting his words in my mouth. He would teach me to be kind and caring and reach out to other people, even though I might have to do things a lot differently than I thought I was going to do. We got these stars. I always look forward to getting my star. I'm thinking, what in the world will this star, what idea will I have from that this year? And so I picked my star just before I did preschool, and on the inside, my star said, radiance. And I thought, wow, that is a really difficult word. I just can't imagine. And the little child said to me, what does your word say? This is a four-year-old. I said, it says radiance. He said, well, what does that mean? I said, well, I think it means that I am supposed to be all that God would want me to be and to shine God's love on everybody that I meet. And the little children just nodded their head. And as he left the room, he turned around and said to me, goodbye, God. I would hope that every place we go, that God would have an opportunity to speak through us. That the people that we see and we meet would have a sense that God was right there. God speaks. God speaks over the tiniest things and gives us grace to share that love with everyone we meet. God's blessing.